Electronic harassment. Are you being beamed by microwaves? We'll talk with Roger Tulsas about that when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. So, Roger, if I said something like on my cell phone, well, the package arrived today, I mean, I could be talking about anything that I bought over the internet. But yeah. What would happen with a statement like that?
Well, I could tell you what did happen to one fellow that was a client of mine, and he was right smack in the middle of the library doing work, and the NSA and some other TSA people came in and took him right out. Marched him out. They had a local police officer with them, and they took him right out, put him in a white van, took his computer, and downloaded his whole hard drive, and then identified themselves as being government agents, and then released him back into the library with his machine after completely copying his whole hard drive.
Oh, my God. And what did they ever do? Did they come back to him later and say, hey, sorry?
No, they never did. They just went there, and they didn't even ask him. They just ripped the computer out of his hands and took him in custody and went out to a van that was outside in the parking lot and plugged his hard drive into their equipment that was in the van, and in a matter of moments downloaded his whole hard drive, then handed him the machine back and just let him go. And he was an individual that was monitoring some of these Islamic sites. And, of course, he was doing it for research purposes for some reason or other. But the point was, his only offense was that he went to some sites that must have been tracked down. One of the things I wanted to point out before we jumped off this 1984 subject, and by the way, I love your song there that you played, the 1984 song. That's great. Anyway, in this article that I told you about, the Great Firewall of China,
yes,
where the $30,000 internet police were located was in the Ministry of Information, and in the George Orwell book, it was called the Ministry of Truth.
I love it.
Close?
Very, very close.
Okay, in the past year, I've covered 35,000 driving miles around the country, investigating electronic harassment cases.
That's a lot of miles, Roger.
Yeah, we went clear through the Midwest, the North, and over up New England, and then down to Atlanta, Miami, and then over Texas, up to Wisconsin, and through some of the other higher states. But anyway, the last time we did the show with you on electronic harassment, the website, the harassment pages took 837,000 hits in 24 hours.
No, actually not unbelievable. I said that as an exclamation gee whiz, but I guess I could expect that.
Yeah. Anyway, for those that want to look at the harassment pages, you go to bugsweeps.com, and on the main page here, you'll see the equipment that we use to check harassment investigations. And then there's a box there that vibrates that says electronic harassment, and that takes you to those pages. Now, on prior shows, we've gone through the pages, so let's not do that again this time. Let's talk about what's new out there in terms of harassment.
And also, Roger, of let's say every 10 people who would say to you or other people, I'm being electronically harassed, how many of them really are? Give me a percent.
I would say that at least 80% of them really are being affected by a directed energy of some form.
Sometimes that's
now,
enormous.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a directed energy from a covert source, but many of them are. In other words, you might recall in previous shows we discussed that the covert agencies are building what they call non-lethal weapons, and under United States law, under United States Code, Title 50, Chapter 32, Section 1520A, the government and its subcontractors can do bioweapons experiments on the civilian population for any law enforcement purpose. That's how it was left after the law was rewritten. So basically, the law in the book says if these agencies or these the subcontractors need bodies to test, well, they can use the people at large. That law is still there. Nobody's removed it.
What's the definition of electronic harassment?
Okay, well, I think you discussed it at the beginning of the show, but we can go through it again. It's if someone uses any electronic device to aid them in invading your person or property for the purpose of gathering information illegally or for the purpose of causing harm, this is electronic harassment.
Motivation?
Well, you know, I had one case where there were two neighbors in the adjoining condos, and these two people were like the Hatfields and McCoys. They were fighting, and these people took a microwave oven apart, and it was over 1,000 watts, and they modified the microwave oven, and we have a picture of it there in the harassment pages, and they started blasting the people next door through the walls, who ended up getting deathly ill, and eventually had to move out just because their health couldn't take it anymore. Now, they were unaware of why they were heating up, and they were having blisters, and their eyes were having cataracts. And they had all these other symptoms, which you can get from having that kind of radiation exposure. And I could run through those again for the people that are new to this.
Sure, let's do that. And also, could these people, could they be charged with something, almost like, attempted murder or something like that?
Well, the only state that has any law against it is the state of Michigan. They have a law that has to do with using these weapons, and on the break I can get the law and read it if you'd like me to read it.
Okay, so, but I guess then in the other states, a microwave transmission of any type is not considered a weapon.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, incredible.
But we all know that it can be a deadly weapon. Here's some of the symptoms if you happen to be radiated. You can get headaches, eye irritation, dizziness, nausea, skin rash, facial swelling, weakness, fatigue, pain in the joints or muscles, buzzing and ringing in the ears, skin numbness, abdominal pressure and pain, breathing difficulty, irregular heartbeat. And we have people that are hearing voices because there's voice-to-skull technology. The patent for that is also in this section, whereby you can actually project voices into people's heads. You can have balance problems, paralysis, muscle spasms, convulsions, confusion, depression, difficulty in concentrating, seizure, sleep disturbances, memory difficulties. And also, one of the things that we've been finding is that people are getting what's known as dream insertion. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not.
Okay, dream insertion is when, instead of just projecting a voice into your head, they can either, while you're sleeping or while you're awake, cause you to experience a dream scenario.
How?
By actually projecting the whole scenario as if it was a movie, but having it go to the inner consciousness rather than the outer consciousness.
Now, I've heard people try to do it with their own dream state. Mm-hmm. You know, some guy wants to have some woman interested in him, and he dreams about her, and he hopes that she dreams about him, and he concentrates. Same technique, or are we talking about equipment that does this?
Yeah, we're talking about electronic equipment, the same equipment that you'll see in the patent under the V2K technology, the voice-to-skull technology. It can project not only voices in people's heads, it's gotten so much more sophisticated now that it can actually project an experience. Now, and I have clients that actually have had that experience happen in the daytime. It would almost be like somebody having a vision, an uncontrolled vision. There are opticals that are transmitted, but mostly the dreams have to do with dream scenarios that these people want to push at you to see if they can get it to affect your normal daily activity.
All right, how do they beam it at you, Roger? And how close do they have to be? Where do they have to be?
Well, as far as power level goes, it depends on your structure, but it's not going to take that much power because the signals these days are bio-coded. You may recall in one of the prior shows that we had the discussion that if yourself and myself and a third person are all in the same room and we all have the same cell phones, the exact same model,
mm-hmm.
except your cell phone's programmed with your number and my cell phone's
right.
programmed with my number. Now, while we're in that room, we're all being hit with microwaves, because if we're near a cell tower and our phones say that we're in good reception link, we are in a microwave transmission of what's known as the paging channel. Now, if somebody dials your phone number, your phone is going to come awake. It's going to ring, or actually the first thing it's going to do is going to communicate with the cell tower and say, I'm over here, and then it's going to say that we're ready to take the call, and as you accept the call, it's going to the other channels are established. But the point is that my cell phone didn't ring, and the other party's cell phone didn't ring, and the only difference was that the coding of the signal was different.
Okay, but this beaming, let's say, of this projected image of what they want you to think.
Right.
What happens if they begin to use this, if they haven't already, for marketing techniques? You know, they want you to buy a car. Maybe the auto sales, as we all know in this country, are down, at least with the domestic auto companies.
Mm-hmm.
What if these companies decide, what a great piece of machinery. From now on, we're going to start beaming, you know, the need to buy, you know, X company's car, or you need to buy, you know, this food or this beer or something. Would they use that on us for marketing?
Well, I don't think that these technologies are in the hands of the general corporations at the moment. I think they're just in the hands of the black ops agencies. They're not
experimental?
Able to do it. But, you know, yeah, this kind of reminds me a little bit of in the old days, or not that long ago, car salesmen used to have a guy sit down with a couple that he was trying to sell a car, and they would have the room bugged. And in the other room, they would have three professional car salesmen that were the trainer top guys. And they would have a little earphone in the guy's ear that was the beginning salesman. And no matter what the people would say to refuse the deal, these pros would keep feeding the guy information about what he should say next to try to close the deal.
I always used to remember in my early days when they went to buy a car, you make a little bid or an offer or something, you start to negotiate. In the old days, they really negotiated. You know, they don't negotiate this much anymore. It's almost like, this is our best deal, or bring in an ad, we'll beat it by a little bit. And I always remember he had to go to that guy, that someone, to see if he could approve it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've always believed that he went into a room by himself, came back and said, well, he said he can knock this $50 off. That's about as low as we can go.
Yeah.
And then you're walking out, and he says, let me go back and talk to him. And he'd go back, this fictitious guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of reminds me of what you're saying.
Yeah, well, this is the early form of it 20 years ago, where they were using covert technology to get the best sales guys to get the guy in front of you to say everything necessary to close the deal on a psychological basis. So for you to think that this technology would be next used on a commercialized basis, I think that's absolutely possible. I know they're trying to page your cell phones now as you walk by locations to give you coupons for Starbucks and all that. I think that's coming. But this mind control stuff is extremely intense, and there's a lot of people that are suffering terribly from it. Also, they're getting subliminals. We've been to locations where people have been near commercial transmission towers, and they are getting subliminal suggestions and other kinds of mind-altering transmissions implanted in their subconscious. We have run into that as well.
I remember years ago, growing up in Detroit, there was a salesman by the name of Joe Girard, and he was a super salesman. He went off to write a few books about how to sell anything to anybody and things like that. And, you know, he didn't need fancy marketing tools. He used his creativity to close the deal. Nowadays, and I think they're working on billboards, for example, that are geared directly toward an individual. It can read someone and say, oh, this guy's a male. We're going to hit him with his cologne. No sense trying to push a female's cologne. And it reads who you are.
Right. Well, they're already using that in marketing different things in stores, where they put covert cameras in the store that actually follow the people through the store. And as you come in, the camera assesses your body type and your age group and whether you're male and female. And then the other cameras then watch you as you go through the store and what displays you look at and what things you pick up off the shelf and all that. It's a data mining video project that's in a lot of the stores now where you see the bubble cameras. And in fact, they're not just doing surveillance for theft. They are doing research on how, what age group people and which individuals, how do they react to different kinds of displays.
Do you call that smart marketing, or do you call that an invasion of our privacy?
Well, it's data mining. It's once again, it's data mining, and I think if they're going to use you as a guinea pig in somewhat of a rat maze, I'd like to know about it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. What is happening in the terms of electronic eavesdropping on people, electronic harassment of people, trying to harm people with electronics? I mean, we have these non-lethal weapons, mind control weapons. What's happening in that arena?
Well, this is where the cell system comes in. We have a tremendous amount of energies. When we go to a location where people are suffering these symptoms that we're talking about, you know, one of the first things we have to do is get the people off the metal beds. Most people sleep on beds that have springs. And once again, a typical bed, 7 foot by 4 foot across, if you consider all those springs in there, it's like laying on an antenna that would be on a battleship. So that people are getting hit with directed energy, we got to get them on foam mattresses and then get rid of all the metal in the framing.
Well, in that case, I have to talk about the Select Comfort bed, which is air.
Good.
You can't beat that.
Okay. Yeah, so we just got to get them off the metal. That's the first thing. Then, as I had mentioned last time, we are actually using shielded rooms. We have rooms that are professional rooms that are actually made by the military, and they're used to either test electronics or have secret meetings in there.
Mm-hmm.
And when we put people that are hearing voices and having this voice problem, we put them in these rooms, we're noticing that the voices that they have in their heads don't go away right away. But if they stay in the room long enough over a period of days, apparently the voice phenomenon is somewhat of a download because the voices that they have tend to repeat themselves and they don't really update themselves to new information that would be repeated in the voice structure. This is kind of a complicated concept, but we're noticing that when we shield people up, the symptoms don't go away right away, but eventually over a period of days, there is the voices diminish themselves, which proves that they are, some of them, coming from directed energy sources.
Was it you who told me a year ago that some hotels are shielding to stop you from using your cell phone in a room because they want you to use their phone where they get these exorbitant prices for long distance or phone calls?
That was not me, but that would require having cell jammers, and of course the FCC frowns on cell jammers. But you know, the whole thing about the cell system, everywhere you look, you got these towers coming up, and as you run the systems that we run, these complex spectrum analyzers, our neighborhoods are getting saturated with microwave energy, and a lot of it has carriers and signals on it that we have no idea what they're doing to our neurological status.
The computer did this to us, didn't it?
Well, microchips, you know, we get back to that microchip. As the chips get more complicated, so does the surveillance. And, of course, the potential for mind control devices as well. So dream insertion and subliminals and biocoding, all these technologies, some of the latest things that have been out in the field in terms of the victims for the past year.
When we come back, let's talk about the new lie detector. That's a fascinating story. I'm George Norrie. Our special guest tonight, Roger Tulsas, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we'll open up the phone lines, give you an opportunity to chat with our special guest tonight, Roger Tulsas. But I'll be back with him in a moment. I want to talk about a new lie detector test and how does it all work. We'll be back. Nothing like having your copy get stuck to each other, Roger. I had two live commercials back to back.
Uh-oh.
Wonder who was monitoring that.
Yeah. Before we move out of the electronic harassment, I did want to say that we are still finding people that have biochip implants. And recently, about a month or so ago, we have this scanning equipment to scan for those, and we scan an individual, and we got a reading that there was one in his neck area. And based on this report, he went to a physician. He was able to get a CAT scan, and lo and behold, the chip did pop up on the CAT scan.
And he was unaware of it?
Yeah.
This is somebody who wasn't volunteering for one now.
No, this is somebody who didn't know they had one, but had all these electronic harassment symptoms, and quite a few of these symptoms can also transfer over when you have this biochip. Once again, in the pages on the website there, the patents are in there for the biochip tracking patents, and it gives you some idea how the chips operate, and there's a link to some of the other biochips, so you can have some understanding how they might physically affect you if you've got one.
Now, but here's something fascinating, though, Roger, because for years we've been doing stories with Dr. Roger Lear, who has been taking implants out of people. Now, in many cases, they really don't know what these objects are. But you know what? I'm beginning to think, based on the fact of what you just said, that you're finding implants in people, microchips, I'm beginning to wonder if there had been a covert testing procedure out there where people thought that they were being abducted by aliens, where indeed, maybe through mind control, drugs, what have you, that black ops programs were testing these people, putting implants in them, chips or whatever, and that these are some of the things that they had been removing from people. They just didn't know what they were.
Well, and the sad thing is, under Title 50, Chapter 32, Section 1520A, if for some law enforcement purpose they wanted to put one in you, it's perfectly legal.
That's incredible. I did not know that. I did not. So if they wanted to monitor somebody, if they thought they were doing something, maybe, I don't know, are some of them transmitters of audio? Can they go that far?
They can, but that's a bit difficult if they're subdermal because the sound doesn't come through. Most of them would be biotransmission or tracking. Although, you know, the point is what's happening in the scenario with the cell phone that I gave you before, you see they're finding other ways to track people and listen to people just using the cell phone that everybody has on hand. A couple of years ago, not everybody had one, and so you had to think about some creative things like microchip implant tracking systems. But now, if somebody's got a cell phone on, they're totally in sight all the time. You might recall on one of our first shows, we said that if you turned your cell phone on and you never made a call, you could go back. We could go back to the telephone company that you're with, and they could tell you your location over the past 3 months. So
what's the game plan with these chips, though? What do they want from some hardworking citizen who, you know, puts his nose to the grind every day, has a family, has a nice house, and doesn't bother anybody? Why are they chipping these people?
Well, they just need bodies for the programs, you know, the DARPAs and these other advanced developments. They happen to need bodies, just like the you might recall in the last show we were talking about that individual that had the chip implant in his head that was the individual in the wheelchair who was playing Pong with his brain.
Right.
So a lot of it just they need bodies for experimentation. And a lot of people get in the program in extremely odd ways. People that have government conflicts, and you know, we had one client that got into a car accident with somebody high up in the government, and they made the mistake of suing this individual, this powerful person, and as a consequence, they ended up getting into the program and being subjected to directed energy experiments.
In your opinion, how are the microchips getting into their bodies when they don't even know they had one?
Well, a lot of them come through the like they do with the stents. You know, they put them on the catheters up through your leg.
Yeah, well, in that case, are you saying they went in for a legitimate catheterization And in that procedure, they pop one of these chips in there too?
Well, it's sometimes people have elected surgeries and they find out that they have them after the fact, and then other people have missing days.
All right, those people with the missing days, you think they were captured by people, abducted by black ops folks?
That would be my guess on in terms of having a insertion that would require a catheter going up through past your heart. You would need to have a complicated surgery theater to do that.
What about a gun that could shoot this chip into your body?
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. So we looked into the gun that we had seen around on the internet and found out that it was an urban legend, and we got rid of it. What we had on it on our website, because that ended up being bogus. So I don't think that you have the ability to get to the level in the body and the position that you want it unless you do it surgically.
You've been doing this for a long time, Roger. At this point, how widespread is this? Is it totally out of control?
Well, it's kind of, we're getting calls from Canada, France, Spain, Greece, England. We're getting calls from all over the world, literally, and not the third world nations, but all the civilized nations, with people that are having either the directed energy experimentation or the microchips implants. So it's going on in all the civilized worlds, and my expectation is, since they all have black ops operations, that that they're all in the space race for the these controlling technologies.
Have we stumbled across any government documents that would attest to some of the things we've talked about tonight?
There are some, but I can't talk about them over the phone.
Why not?
Because it would be too big a problem.
For you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but just let me say, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about here is based on information.
And classified, probably.
Well, yeah, most of them were, you know. But once again, a lot of the stuff we happen to see in the field, and of course, being the investigators that we are, we're trying to put all the little pieces to the puzzle. But as the technology moves so fast, once again, the surveillance is directly related to the power and density of the chips.
Well, that's true. And they're getting better and better and better. And one day, when they become biological chips, we really have a problem.
Yeah. One more quote here from George Orwell. He says in one section, he's talking about being under the surveillance of the telescreens. He says here, to keep your face expressionless was not difficult, and even your breathing could be controlled with an effort, but you could not control the beating of your heart, and the telescreen was quite delicate enough to pick it up.
I love it.
Isn't that something, that in 1949, he's thinking about cameras that will make bio measurements on you?
He was a genius, I guess. He was almost a little bit like Leonardo da Vinci was.
Well, either you put him in that prophetic category where he's a visionary in terms of the, you know, there's a lot of political observations that he makes in this book also that well describe our status at this point, especially where the government wants to talk about the evildoers. And, you know, we really don't know who they are. They're kind of out there in the hills somewhere. But that's the justification for all of us allowing this technology to move us into the Big Brother status.
Did he make other predictions beyond the gobbling up by Big Brother? I mean, did he make predictions about Earth changes and things like that? Or did he stick primarily to issues like this?
No, he just stuck primarily to this technology, this Big Brother technology, and the political environment that allowed it to move forward, and how, in this particular case, things got to this terrible condition. And that's the prophetic part about it, because, you know, this individual, Winston Smith, he's already in the middle of the major Big Brother society, and then what we're trying to do is kind of understand how it got there.
But tell me about this new lie detector out there, Roger.
Well, once again, this goes right in with this observation that that he made there. Only this one here operates on brain mapping, and there is a paper called "Evidentiary Significance of Brain Fingerprinting," And basically what it says here that is electrical responses to the brain are involuntary and automatic. When memory response is triggered by recall of past events, then embedded in the experiential knowledge, the person may speak it out or express it the same way if he chooses, but he may not decide to disclose it. And so in order to understand what happens, they are scanning brains and looking at the brain emissions on an MRI, and they find that sections of the brain will have certain amounts of metabolism take place when people recognize things that are familiar with them. So if you had a perpetrator of a murder, suddenly seeing a photograph of a person whom he killed will have his memory triggered in the form of a brain wave that records a certain frequency and duration and voltage. And that's the way this thing works. It's kind of like a MRI EEG where it takes these sectors of the brain and it scans it looking for those patterns that show that you recognize what they're showing you.
You are a counter-surveillance specialist. That's been your primary job, your career. Are you disturbed that this kind of technology all over the place is out there? In some cases, doesn't it also help your business?
Well, it does help my business, but I hate to see us spiraling into this Big Brother environment. It's not going to serve the purpose of how the founding fathers set up the country to begin with freedom in all aspects, in the sense that they thought that the country would move forward and be successful and be economically successful in an environment of free enterprise. But as you're getting into this surveillance of everything, I think we are going to smother ourselves in terms of ruining the economy, getting back to that discussion we had. You know, they just lifted the borrowing from $8 trillion to $9 trillion. And the more you borrow, the deeper the problem gets for our kids and our grandkids.
You know, there was a point that people like Einstein and Oppenheimer would talk about the atomic age as being a severe problem. You know, they began to change from their initial thoughts. It began to bother them. It began to haunt them. These scientists who are working on these technologies, who are putting them out there in the hands of the black ops people, do we know if they're at a point where they're simply saying, I'm not going to do this, or are they simply bought off?
Well, you know, you see these corporations, especially these corporations that have gone to China and helped implement the Chinese surveillance on the people and limiting their access to the Internet, and also their keeping their ability from speaking out on the Internet with websites that may not go along with the government line. So you have to say those corporations have been bought and paid for. If they really had the American spirit, I don't think they should be participating in this Chinese great firewall, this web firewall that keeps the people there subjugated.
What do you see as our biggest problems with all this technology? I mean, we've talked about a number of different issues. Is it just the whole package, or is there any one thing that's worse than the other?
Well, I think they're all terrible, but on the whole, if you were to talk about the information that would be available if the government pushed some buttons at the NSA, we could probably see 98% of the information that relates to your life in terms of finances, in terms of medical, in terms of where you've been. You know, they're now putting black boxes in the cars so that the past 5 minutes of where you've been driving is permanently recorded in your automobile.
Information, information, information. But aren't they going to get inundated with this information? I mean, they're going to get swallowed up, aren't they?
Well, not if you assign the machines to watch the people. In other words, what happens if we take a sector of one of these supercomputers and say, we want you to data mine George Norrie. We want to know day-to-day what's going on in George's life. And if George goes out of his normal pattern of spending or health or a credit or telephone calls or contacts, we want you to bring it up immediately.
It flags, and then they see it.
That's it. That flags, and then it also draws maps and diagrams of who you're communicating with.
So, and then somebody who analyzes this has got to decide if they're going to pursue it or not.
That's right. But still, the point is that the dossiers are automated.
How much of this, you know, we're coming into a year in the next couple of years of another major presidential election. We have all talked to people about these electronic voting machines. I've had Bev Harris on. She just thinks these are abominable without paper trails.
Absolutely.
You've always said the founding fathers are rolling in their graves over this.
I'm sure they are because, you know, ballots, paper ballots have been part of our process right from the beginning. The ability to go back and recheck an election if something doesn't seem right. But one of the terrible things that we're finding out is some of these electronic voting machines are now connected to networks. They have the little Wi-Fi cards in them, so they can report their voting back to the central location. But, you know, who knows what can happen in the sense that can the voting results be manipulated by somebody communicating with that machine and altering results?
With a simple punch of a few buttons, you might be able to change the whole percent.
Well, you can change everything. It's almost like if you had your laptop online and you're sitting at Starbucks and you're plugged into their network through your Wi-Fi card. If I'm a competent hacker, I can just enter right into your machine and do whatever I want with the contents of your hard drive.
It would seem to me that one side, one party, would fight this, another would accept it. I can't see how both parties would want this, or am I wrong here? Am I missing something?
Well, you know, the question is who's really in control of the elections? You know, I don't know that you should think party. Well, you may want to think about who's pulling the big strings over America, which is primarily the New World Order people, the banking institutions, and the corporations—they're the ones that are running everything. The Federal Reserve, the politicians are
the globalists. The globalists.
Well, the politicians are just—they're the front men.
I agree with that. There's no doubt about that. And I guess what the globalists want is they want to ensure that whoever their Manchurian candidate might be, that he gets in.
And they want to ensure the dismantling of governments that have constitutions so that they can become part of the corporation.
It's frightening stuff, Roger. And
yeah,
it's happening.
It is frightening stuff. And the thing about it is the people are not in the streets. They're at home watching TV.
And you know what? It's going to happen, and it'll pass everybody by, won't it?
It will.
Do you think the Manchurian candidate, that kind of an event is entirely possible?
Well, I don't think that you need to put an automated guy in the front. I think that you can buy all the front guys you want. You know,
well,
I don't
you
think you need
right.
to have a mind-controlled one because you you can get somebody up there that actually doesn't need a lot of leadership capabilities if he's a good front man.
Roger's website is bugsweeps.com. We'll be back with him in a moment. I tell you what we're going to do now. It's that favorite part of the hour for a lot of you where we open up the phone lines. It's an interactive talk show. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.